we're glad to have you here today, and we're glad that everybody's happy, even though we are early. But I guess it affected us too bad so far anyway. So if you're visiting with us, we're especially glad to have you, and we're excited that we have guest speakers this morning and looking forward to hearing what they have to tell us about the North American Missions offering. The flowers today are given by Caldonia Evans in honor of Ray in celebration of his birthday on Tuesday, March the 11th. Happy birthday, Ray. There will be a meeting on March the 16th for those that are going to camp. They need to at 3 o'clock in the fellowship hall. If you're interested in attending camp, you need to be at this meeting with your parents. We have some additions to our Pray For Me program, so take time to read that. And the Yadkin Baptist Choir will be rehearsing soon, so I won't read all the details. Y'all can read that. And the WMU Ladies Spring Celebration is coming up. We also are having a baby shower on March the 23rd at 3:30 for Amber and Michael Murphy, so be sure to take note of that. And don't forget your little insert that was in last Sunday's bulletin about the personal care items for the Operation Christmas Child. Also, you have another little insert in your bulletin about the directory. We have it ready. We need to know how many paper copies we need, so if we can prepare to print it. Also, you have two other options on here. One is a flash drive, or Jody will get it on the website. It will be password protected, so when he gets that information together, we will tell everybody what the password is and how to go about getting that. So please fill out which one you would like to have, and I have baskets out on the tables where we've had them before to collect the papers, so you won't have to wait on a certain person or something like that in order to get your information to us. So does anyone else have anything this morning? Let's take our hymnals and turn to 595, Send the Light, and stand as we sing.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We are the light.
Amen.
And we're supposed to be spreading the light.
Amen.
Don't hide it under the bushel basket. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, again today as we come to you, we thank you again that we can come together. I pray for our speakers today. Ask you to bless and be with them as well. And Lord, again, may we be reminded that we are out here to present the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I ask you again to be with us wherever we go, whatever we do. And Lord, pray for the Holy Spirit just to move in a mighty way in the hearts of all believers. I ask you now to take this offering, bless it, and use it according to your will and purpose. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Good to see Bryce. Glad to see you. That's about all we're going to get out of him, a little smile. Everybody enjoy yesterday? Beautiful day. I was reminded of the armor of God this morning because of yesterday. I use this analogy because it was so beautiful. I got burned on my arms, so I should have applied sunscreen to protect me. And I should have put mosquito spray on. So as we go into this warmer time of year, let us think about that. That as we walk daily with God's blessings, that he also reminds us to put on his protection. And we can just defend us from those nasty mosquitoes. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Father, that we are allowed to come before your presence through the shedding of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father. And it is in him, through his righteousness, that I can come before you and just pray. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for that gift that Christ is alive, Father, and he is justified, and that means I'm justified. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for all the people here, Father. I pray a blessing upon those and be with those that could not make it, Father. I pray for our speaker. Father, just bless him with wisdom. Bless him with your spirit. Father, we just thank you for this time of fellowship together. For it's in your holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 591, Hark the Voice of Jesus Calling. children come up for the children's sermon. Hey, Greg.
Good morning, boys and girls. Did you guys enjoy the warm weather yesterday? It was so warm. It was so nice. So when it starts warming up, our family likes to go fishing. Do any of y'all like to fish? Yeah, we like to fish. Oh, well, I'm sure you'll get to go next time. Yeah. So Emma's going to pass out some fishing worms I brought for you guys, but I don't want you to eat them once you get them, okay?
Hey.
Just to give them one of each cup. Yeah. They're not real. They're just gummy worms. They're not real. Yeah, they're just gummy. So while Emma passes those out, I'm going to read from, it's okay. Maybe we'll wait. Don't eat them yet. Patience. Patience is a virtue, y'all. Well, those fish worms are gone. It's okay. Hurry, Emma, hurry. All right, right here. Okay, so you got your fish and worms in your hand. We're going to read from Job. And it says, "Yet his food will turn sour in his stomach. It will become the venom of serpents within him." So take a taste of your sour worm. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so when you take a taste of your sour worm, what are some things that we do or say that may be considered sour? Do we sometimes say mean things, or we don't do things that are pleasing to God? Could that mean that we're acting sour? Yeah. All right, now take a taste of your sweet worm. Oh, man, that's so much better, right? So then we're going to read from Psalms 119, 103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yes, sweeter than honey in my mouth." So what do you think sweet words or sweet things we could do that pleases God? What can we say or do that pleases God, you think, that's considered sweet? What? Absolutely. You do something kind, you do sweet stuff, right? Yeah. Yes, things that encourage others. Yeah, those are things that are pleasing to God, right? So when you eat a sour worm or a gummy worm now, you'll think, oh, I really should be sweet, right? No. And do things that are pleasing to God, right? All right. Does anybody want to pray? Okay.
Thank you, God. Thanks for all these boys and girls. And bless us with our heart. And bless everybody. And pray for this, my cat, dude, who didn't want to be with us, but I still love him. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these precious children, Lord. We know that you're working in their hearts. And we just ask that you continue to be with them and be with everybody today. And Lord, just continue to bless us in each and every way. In your name I pray. Amen. Good job, Avery.
It's quite a contrast. You see fresh as spring walk out, and then here comes me, old as dirt, up to the podium. Couldn't help but think that, but what a blessing our children are. We are really fortunate today, this being our Annie Armstrong month to collect the offerings. We have a special guest and his wife here to share with us the point and the purpose of these offerings and what happens with them and the opportunities we have to participate in the things that they do. So this is David and Kathy Parsons who are with us today. And they worked together in their local church as God was preparing them to do what they do today. And this is interesting because I want you to understand that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, may be a mission field, but God may also be calling you to another field. David was a manufacturing representative. Kathy was an elementary school teacher before God called them to another mission, and that was full-time missionaries. They are blessed to have three grown children, Jonathan, Daniel, Benjamin, all married, wives Amy, Hope, and Elizabeth, and enough grandchildren for a children's sermon itself, 10 grandchildren. So what a blessing that is. What a joy that is. And so we are grateful to have you here with us today, and I'm going to say a quick prayer over you, and then you come on up and around and you lead us, brother. So bow with me. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that through this month we have an opportunity to participate in missions in a very special way. Lord, some can pray, some can go, some can give. Lord, may we today think about how we might participate in all of those ways. But Lord, also especially the offering as we have this time to give during this month. So bless David as he stands before us. Help us, encourage us, challenge us as needed. For through Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Pastor Greg. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Well, it's good to be here today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in Bear Creek. It's been about 5 years since we were here. And a lot has happened in our lives, and I hope a lot has happened in your life. And God is at work. It's good for Kathy and I to be here. We look forward to this time. I just want to say off the bat that God works in people, right? And God works in people that sometimes we think, not me, not I. Not my situation, but God does. And I remember standing here about 5 years ago, and people were coming by talking, and we had a display here of some things you could see and do. And one man came by. He said, well, I don't sing. La, 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 I don't sing. And I don't preach, okay? I said, well, what do you do? He said, well, I work it in Winston-Salem. I said, what do you do in Winston-Salem? I work at Haynes Dye and Finishing. Well, what do you do there? I'm a mechanical person. I work with mechanics of the manufacturing, and I'm a welder. Well, I stood here and I thought, I don't know about that one. That's a long shot, you know. I don't think there's many opportunities. And I said, well, welder? I said, well, he said, yeah, ever have anything needs welding? I said, not that I know of. Mostly with working with kids and broken families and broken people and broken poverty situations as missionaries right here in Winston-Salem. And I said, I'll call you if I do. He said, okay. So I wrote his name down. His name was Ken Stack. I wrote his name down, and lo and behold, somebody else called me and said, I've got some tables I want to give you, these lifetime tables that extend, and you can use them in different places. We didn't have the funds to buy those tables with. That's what Annie Armstrong does. It helps provide monies for things other than living expenses. It helps provide monies to get things fixed. It helps provide monies in different areas that don't come out of your normal income, okay? Special projects, books, Bibles, song sheets, games, puzzles, things that you use to get boys and girls together so that you can sit down
on the ball field and stop the soccer game and tell them about Jesus. So these tables were given to me, and they had broken legs on them. You know, sometimes people give you the oddest things, you know what I'm saying? Like, this table's broken and the legs are all messed up. Can you use it? I'm thinking, I don't know about that one, you know? But I took him to Ken Stack, and I said, Ken, what do you think? Do you think we could repair these tables instead of having them? Because I'm going to use them outside in rough situations. He said, yeah, I could weld here and put a washer there. And I said, well, make sure it doesn't hit some kid's leg and make him bleed, you know? And so Ken got them off real fine. In fact, I moved those tables the other day, and my hand was touching that part that I was curious about. And I told somebody, you know, I asked a man to fix these. He fixed them the right way. He did it right. It's smooth, you know, as you want it to be. And so when it came time to work on the bus, I got the bus. I called Ken back. I said, Ken, I want to cut these backs off these benches. Do you think he could help me? He said, well, let's look at it. So I went by his shop there one day at on Northwest Boulevard, Chatham Road, and we looked at it, and he said, I believe I could do that. So I drove the bus up to his house in Yadkinville, and it was a big white bus at the time. Well, it wasn't big, but it was a white bus. And it sat in his backyard for a long time. He and his wife, Carol, they put up with that, sitting there back there. Looked like it was starting a chicken coop, you know. We could start our own private chicken coop, have our own eggs. Hey, what a business, you know. But it wasn't that. It was that we cut the seats out of the bus. And I took them out and took them all apart. And then we cut those pieces of metal off, and we looked at, figured it out. Would this work if we tried to do it? And he had some ideas. He measured, did a good job. He worked on my trailer some. So I just want to say thank you, Ken Stack, for your work. Let's give him a hand. And it takes that kind of work. What that song just said, what can I do? I can do it at my own doorstep. There's so many things we can do, and I'm thankful that's enabled us. Because now we don't rent apartments anymore in Salem Gardens and Skyline Village and Piedmont Park and New Hope Apartments and where else? All these other apartments we work in. We don't have to go to them and say, can we rent an apartment for X number of dollars a month? Because we've got a mobile classroom that we take out. We painted it, and it was white at one time. Now it's the God Loves You bus. The God Loves You bus. And it says also, as Blake and I were talking a minute ago, Dios te ama, right? In Spanish, God loves you. Because yesterday I was at a completely Spanish community and had a guy from translating with me as I was knocking on doors. I know the kids. I can talk to the children, but I couldn't communicate to the parents. And parents from Ecuador, one's from El Salvador, one's from Mexico, one's from Costa Rica. And with him there, we could just talk. And so that's what God's enabled us to do. So I want to challenge you from a passage in Hebrews 11. We're going to look at some things here. But what God did, and let's say a prayer and ask God's help today, okay? God, we thank you for your blessings to us. We thank you for working in our lives. We thank you that the salvation we have that comes through Jesus Christ. You say, tell us in the book of John that he who hears my words and believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life. And that's what we've chosen to do, Lord. We've chosen to trust, hear your words, and believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, to take us from ourselves and take us to him one day, to himself, to heaven, to be with him forever. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the time today. May your name be magnified, and I always say and do. And we ask this prayer in Christ's name. Amen. So in Hebrews 11, we got an amazing story, and it's recapped in Exodus, but it's recapped for us in Hebrews 11. And it says this, and by faith, in verse 23, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months. We remember that. Because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's laws. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. By faith, in verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. He wanted what God had for him because he was looking ahead to his reward. 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. He, by faith, that was seeing that was invisible, seeing God, seeing Jesus Christ. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Isn't that something? He believed that man was going, that destroyer was going to come that night, and he was going to have enough wisdom to select which ones to destroy and which ones not to destroy. He would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Wow. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, he knew that God could delineate who trusted him and who didn't. And you know he's still doing that. God has the wisdom to look at our lives and know whether we're believers or whether we're not. By faith, he did that. And he says, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were all drowned. About five or six times we see repetitive patterns where Moses trusted God, and it says, by faith he did it. And that's what we do. This work we do is by faith. By faith, we took an old bus, and we pulled it apart, took all the seats out, and said, what have we done now? Oh, we've ruined it. No, we're going to make it a mobile classroom so people could sit around the sides, and I want you to see it before you leave today. By faith, God did that, and by faith, God used it. By faith, a church called me and said, would you bring it to our church? I said, well, most of the time we're going to the communities, but we could do that. So by faith, we went to that church, and they had a party. It was either a fall festival or Easter egg festival for the church, and all these youth came in, all these kids came in. Well, what was so interesting, I come home and told Kathy, I said, guess how many I had on the bus today? A 14 and one bus. That means 14 passengers and one driver, if you know the CDL. And she said, how many? I said, we had 500 on the bus. She said, We had 20 come 25 times. I think that's right. Is that right, math? Did I mess it up? So, something like that. But they were groups. And you start drinking a lot of water when you tell the gospel for 15 minutes to one group, that group gets off. Another group comes on. By faith, we saw 500 kids get on the bus that day. That's amazing. And you feel like a piece of bacon when it's done, like, don't ask me anything. but God provided. And we went to another church a couple weeks later, did 300 on that bus, went to a church in Thomasville, the same thing. And God has opened doors. So normally we're in communities and we'll have 25 or 30 kids get on the bus at a time. But we want to show you some slides here. Who we are. We're Mission Center, that's what we call it. We're North American Mission Board. And we're David and Kathy Parsons. And we operate mostly in Winston-Salem, the Triad. But there's a lot of poverty. A lot of poverty there. And we share the gospel of Jesus. Let's go back one more time. It's okay. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't get the clicker. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Let me go back here. How am I doing? I'm not doing good. I'm not getting to work. I'm doing something wrong. Okay. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ with poverty people. And we mean that really literally, poverty people, poverty housing and multifamily housing communities. By multifamily housing, we mean apartment buildings. It could be a mobile home park because you have a high concentration of people. We don't have to tell them to come to us. What we're doing, we're lowering the common denominator. We're making it simpler for them to hear about Jesus, hear the gospel. We're not saying, y'all come to Bear Creek, we'll be here on a certain time. No, we're going to you. You know, it's just like people say today, used to, you had to go look for the news. Remember that day? Now the news does what? It comes and finds you, doesn't it? That's things you don't want to see sometimes. They come and find you. I just got 3 notifications this morning for something in the news I didn't know about. So we go places, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. There you see pictures of that. I'm going the wrong way here again. Let's see here. Here in the world. Okay. We're missionaries because God and heaven and hell are real. We know that. It's real. God has told us that in his word. God has laid it on the hearts and minds to take the gospel of Jesus to neglected families, neglected communities, and neglected children. Barna is a group that does a lot of technical data, and they came out recently and said there are 40 million kids in America, and 80% of them do not go to Sunday school. 80% of these kids do not hear. They do not know. And God has laid it on our hearts to go. There you see us in different areas. We're playing a Gaga game there. That's some opportunities we use with the special monies we got from Annie Armstrong to buy the Gaga. That's like a portable game you play on a court. If you're in schools, you see it, and kids have it. And it's a great tool. So we have the God Loves You bus. You see kids sitting inside, two pictures there on the left and the right, and there's the bus. We can seat 25 people. It's a mobile classroom. We can take anywhere and conduct Bible studies. We've got a TV on it, so we can watch Christian videos we want to watch, watch a book. We take a picture of a book, put our song up there. We don't have to have as many opportunities with other pieces of material. So it's a mobile classroom. We go into poverty neighborhoods, and we meet needs and change lives. Now, I was telling some friends a minute ago here that when I was knocking on the door yesterday, when I opened the door, I could see no furniture. I didn't see a couch. I didn't see a chair. I didn't see in this little two-bedroom apartment, I didn't see a table to sit at and eat. I didn't see any chairs. There was nothing. So the guy that was with me said, we've got an extra table and chairs at our house. I want to bring it by here. So we try to do that. Try to work through the management, meet needs, and change lives by helping with physical needs, whatever it might be. There we are playing bingo. There we are teaching Bible lessons over at what we used to call Happy Hill. You know that area was in Winston-Salem? That's where they're regularly. And by playing wiffle ball, just playing games with kids. So this is a church. You guys were blessed this morning, weren't they, honey? They had these kids here. We go to a lot of churches, and there's no children because they don't have anybody that has kids anymore. And the kids aren't coming. And we need to go after children. We need to do that. That's very important. In this situation, we find some churches that don't have kids. We go there. We do activities. There we are on South Broad Street in Winston-Salem where we cook a Wednesday night supper, teach Bible classes, doing that. The Annie Armstrong says this, the future all lies before us, okay? The future of what God's doing in our lives, it lies before us. And she said this, will it only be a slight advance upon what we usually do? Will we just try something a little bit? She said, no, it shouldn't be that way. It should be a leap forward. We should jump into it. We should pursue other people. We pursue other opportunities. We should have, we should go to higher altitudes, as it were, of our work and success undreamed of before. We should go places we've never done things. God wants us to step out of the box. He wants us to go and invite people we've never invited before. He wants us to do things in our church and in our community that we've never even thought about. Go do them. Children's missions. When someone said this, what you do matters. Jesus smiles when he sees these kids down here, when he sees your ministry. You pass on children's workers. You pass on faith and hope. You help children find their voice. How many of you have worked in children's work before? Or working in it now? You've worked in it. Okay, a lot of hands. You've been involved. And so stats tell us that from 3 to 16, when I say 3:16, we think about John 3:16, don't we? John 3:16, which says what? Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the gospel. That's what we share everywhere we go. We got it on the side of our bus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But you know, there's another 3:16 that's very important. From 3 to 16 is the age that most people trust Christ. We talked about that before. 3 to 16, most people, 85% of the people in America trust Christ because they did it at that age. Think about your life. I trusted Christ when I was 5, and Kathy trusted Christ when she was 14. So God has been working in our life. So we help children find their voice. They don't know what to say. They don't know what's going on. But we help them by being an example for them. And so we're encouraging their faith. So let's look at another slide here. In these churches we go to, So this is another group we meet with on Tuesday morning. We've got some men in a Bible study. We meet at Hardy's on Clemensville Road. Some of you know where that is. We meet there. We get breakfast with these men. We have about 14 guys right now, and we split, divided into two groups. So we meet, we share God's word, we open Bibles, we teach them. Some of these men are from the same community that we're working in, okay? They don't have jobs. They don't have a car. So we pick them up, and we have early breakfast with them on Tuesday morning. It's been a good time. We've seen all these men come to Christ as their Savior and say they've trusted Christ and grow in Him. So that's been an opportunity. So we provide in the communities and churches with school supplies, coats and stuffed animals. You know, kids have a way of taking a coat to school, and that's as far as it got. They leave it at school. Someone said in North Carolina, you have all four seasons in one day sometimes. It seems that way. You go to school, it's 29. When you get out, it's 70. You know, and so you don't really know what you did with your jacket. Where's your sweater? What'd you do with it? So after a couple of days of laying around the school, the teacher says, put them in the lost and found bucket, basket. And she calls us when they get a big bag, and we go get them. And we take them and wash them, and then we give them away. Last year, we gave away 1,500 coats. 1,500 coats. And that's a way to sit down, meet a parent, get to know them, talk with them about Jesus Christ, and talk with their children. So we go giving these things out. You can see here we brought some things we do, stuffed animals. You know, stuffed animals, we had an idea with them. You may have some you want to donate sometime. But we take stuffed animals and we wash them and we put a scarf on them that says, Jesus loves me. You know, sometimes we've heard of something called multi-housing stress disorder. Multi-housing stress disorder. That's when some kid wakes up in the middle of the night and the whole world's blue. There's blue lights out there. Or there's fire engines out there. Or somebody's beating on the wall. Or somebody's doing something wrong. Or there's somebody in your house that you don't even know who it is. Or there's just shooting. All kind of stress. Kids don't even get a good night's rest sometimes. So it's for a boy or girl to have a stuffed animal to hold on to it that says, Jesus loves me. We give them a little recognition. We're trying to bond with them children to get to know them. One day I was walking over to a multi-housing place and a little boy came up to me and started walking with me. He said, Mr. Parsons, Mr. David, are we having church today? I said, what? What'd you say, Charlie? He said, are we having church today? How would you answer him? You know what I said? I said, yes, Charlie, we're having church. We have church every day. He said, good. And, you know, you want them to know something positive. And we sit down, we tell Bible stories with them every day. We use a Jesus Storybook Bible right here. We showed you this before. It has all the Bible stories in it. Great tool. A great tool for sure. It's in Spanish and English. And then we have this one called the Action Bible. It's great. It's an illustrated version, a little for older kids. Great tool. So God has enabled us to use those. So, we work with Backyard Bible Ministry in Stokes County. We go up there, and they have a group that meets at the pavilion in the park, and we share God's word with them on Wednesday nights. And we put together the Christmas wreaths. And where's this thing? Okay. I lost it somehow. All right, so Unity Baptist Church, south of Winston-Salem, we had a big day with them. We had a table full of gifts and things they could enjoy. Had a back-to-school time where they got backpacks at Lexington Baptist Church in the same area. And kids came in. We were able to go in there and share with them, and they came to visit the bus. El Buen Samaritano is the Church of the Good Samaritan. It's a friend of ours, another church. We're able to help with them with back to school. and Glenview Baptist Church. We did a toy store there. I helped them with toy store, took some toys they had and shared it with other kids. And we had two trailers full of open trailers of toys to share with kids. We went to missions conferences throughout North Carolina. Sometimes we've gone to Georgia and Tennessee and shared the story that you can be involved and come help us, or you can get involved in your community, wherever you are. So we enjoy helping churches plan kids' events and adult events that minister to the community. Sometimes people are, they're off the grid, you might say, and we're not meeting them. How do we go meet them? It's a go gospel. The first two letters of the word gospel are G-O, and that's what we try to do is go. And God has enabled us that with the bus and opportunities he's given us. So we share household items, winter coats, school supplies, children's books, Bibles, the food. We put that on the list here. Maybe something you'd like to get involved with that. Share Bibles. We take old Bibles. Maybe some Bibles you've had. Sometimes people have Bibles around the house, and they've had them for a while, and they don't want to throw them away. How can I share them? So with needy people, we share them. Sometimes people will come to us and say, Mr. David, I don't have a Bible. So we give them a Bible. And they say, wow, I got my very own Bible. And so that's a great tool to have. Oh, okay. Too far? So you might have to help me with that one, Blake. I can't do what I want to do right there. But here's what Jesus said in the Bible. He says this was in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He talks about the opportunity to get involved with children. And this is what he says. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant with them. He said to them, let the little children come to me. Folks, he's telling us that. Let them come. He says this, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I'll tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, and he blessed them, and he prayed for them. Now, I almost want to challenge us right here as we think about this. Jesus is concerned about children. Jesus looks for children. You know, you go places, you see kids. How many kids are here? What's going on? But Jesus sees them. We need to see children as Jesus sees them. We need to see the potential. Jesus says, allow them to come. Allow them to come to me. Make a pathway. Sometimes we have to stop and think, we're not hindering them, but are we making a path? Are we making a way they can come? That's very important. Show me the path for kids to come to Jesus in our church. What does it look like? What are the events we do? What are the opportunities we provide for kids to come to Jesus? Don't stop them. What an opportunity. Could be a game. Could be sports. Could be using a field you might have. Could be using somebody's farm as a hot dog day. Whatever it might be using. You know? Could be going to a mobile home park. Talking with the manager, said, how can we come over here and encourage and bless? How can we do a reading club over here? How can we do something for the kids? Activity camp, but don't hinder them. Make a way. Be kid-friendly. Jesus says this, he is present, he is close to the children, he prayed for the children. That's a big thing. We need to be praying for the children. We need to touch the children, you know, bless them, and the touch of Jesus. What kind of people did Jesus associate with? All kinds of people. In the Bible, we see many people Jesus came to know. Some reached out to him, and he reached out to all. Some reached out to touch him and say, I want to touch the hem of his garment. But Jesus touched all. He reached out. And we see it doesn't matter how great or how unknown they were, rich or poor, or strong or weak, Jesus was reaching out to people. And that's what he wants us to do. So, have we got this thing to work yet, Blake? That's gone. Sir? Oh, that was the last slide? Let me go back a minute. Wait, can you get it? Can you put it back on there for me? I think there's a couple more. I don't know how it did. Shouldn't be. See if you can start it back over, and I'll go back through it. But we want you to know how God has blessed us, and we want to thank this church for their work and see how that God is working. and he's working in our lives, and he's blessed us. And just being here this morning with you guys and sharing this story, let's see how we get to do now. Oops. Let's go through it just a minute, see if we find it. Maybe it just didn't load originally. We didn't know that. Ready? Is that the last one? Okay, let's go. Okay, it's going now. All right. So it's everything we've seen. That's it. Okay, we didn't load originally. Didn't wear that. Okay. So, but God is alive with us, and we work with situations that need great help. And so our four goals are this in ministry: is to make contact with people we don't know. All right. Build relationships with people we don't have them with. How do we build relationships? It could be food. It could be canned goods. It could be a meal. It could be fixing the spaghetti meal for people, and carrying it to them, sharing with them, inviting the community in. It could be cooking outside. It could be a sports game, soccer, or baseball, or basketball. It could be fishing, whatever it could be. We've done all these things. It's amazing how God opens the door. A man called me one time down around Welcome, and he said this. He said, hey, we've got some guys that are getting together to help some boys that might need a influence in them, and some kids that need some influence. A friend of mine's got a pond, and we're going to have a fishing day. One of you might could bring some boys. So I said, okay. He worked for Piedmont Natural Gas, and I knew one of his other guys. He said, he told me about you. He said, you had some boys you worked with. And I said, sure, we could do that. I said, how many can I bring? He said, well, two or three? I said, well, I was thinking about 15 or 20. He said, well, I don't know about that. That's a little bit bigger group than I thought about. I said, well, would you ask your guys and see if I can bring that many? He said, yeah, that'd be okay. I said, if I can get a bus from a certain church, borrow their bus, I can bring a pretty good sized group. So I said, would you ask the group one more thing? He said, yeah, what's that? I said, would you ask him, you going to have hot dogs and that kind of thing? Yeah, it's going to be fishing and hot dogs, and man's going to be there and show us how he works his dog in the pond by whistling, calling the dog, and like you see on TV, you know. I said, okay. And I said, would you ask him if we could have a prayer before we serve the hot dogs? He said, well, this isn't a church service. I said, okay. All right, but would you ask him? He said, yeah, I will. Okay. I said, well, let me ask you one more question. He said, what's that? I said, could you ask him if we could talk about God and his love for them before we pray there? He said, well, like I told you, sir, this isn't a church service. We were talking on the telephone, you know. I said, all right, but would you just ask him and see what they say? He said, okay. So he come back, and he said, I'm having a little throat challenge this morning. He said, I talked to the guys, and they said, it'd be okay if you bring the guys. It'd be okay for you to have a prayer, and it'd be okay for you to share a short devotion. I said, great, thank you. You know, sometimes, folks, all it takes is for you and I to say something. By faith, Moses was taken care of by his parents. By faith, Moses left that place not knowing where he was going. He'd done some things that weren't quite right, but he didn't know how God was going to work. By faith, Moses was instructed by his father-in-law and mentored. By faith, Moses crossed the Red Sea. You know, he had to stand there at the Red Sea and think, Lord, this is tremendous. This is a big body of water. And there's a lot of us that can't swim. In fact, there's about 4 million of us. 4 million of us. And there's a lot of little kids here. And they don't know how to swim. And we don't know how you're going to take care of us. But by faith, he put his foot in the water. And by faith, God led him across on dry ground. And by faith, God took care of him. And by faith, we sit here today, that same faith, we trust in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And God's at work. And we know that today. And we said, here's recipients of this. And Annie Armstrong was a lady who went by faith. She went and she was out where the wagons were when they were going west. And she said this. She said, if we don't get there and meet those families that are on those wagons as they come out west, then the saloon keepers and the gamblers and the exploiters of all good things and the wicked people will be there and try to take their money and try to get the best of them. Just like the people, telemarketers are called, maybe you on the phone, right? They're going to be after them. They're going to come after them. We've got to go there with the gospel. We've got to be there with something, either a snack, a cookie, a cracker, a bottle of water. We've got to be there with something to share with them about Jesus Christ so they'll know that we represent him and we're there. And we're giving them this bottle of water, not only because they satisfy their physical thirst, but we're going to tell them about Jesus Christ who can satisfy their thirst for their whole life. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. And he's telling us that. And today, we have the same situation in our lives. What kind of people did Jesus associate with? All kinds. We need to do the same thing, okay? We need to go and see in the opportunities we have that God has put us where he has put us. And we need to be there. So we see that God is faithful to work in the lives of people. And he's faithful to work in my life and your life for that his name be magnified. And we've been talking about worship. And how this is how we worship. Missions is going out and bringing other people to come and worship him. People are going to worship something. All of us are. Something we buy, something we want, something we have. But he wants us to worship him. He's calling us to do it. So I want to ask you this morning, as you consider missions, I want you to come by and talk with us some, see some opportunities we've been doing, see some things here, go out and visit the bus, and don't be in a hurry to leave, and tell you how God is using it and how he's working in our life. We've got a couple of things here we want to let you know about. Here's a book that we have some extras of, and if you don't get one, I can give some more to you. But it's called Castaway Kid. Has anybody read that book before? Castaway Kid. Great book. A friend of mine is the story of his life. At 2 years old, he was abandoned. At 2 years old, his dad had tried to commit suicide and failed. And he damaged his brain, and he never could get dressed again. He couldn't do anything. His mother was a woman of the street. She walked the streets, and he didn't have any. So she took him to a home, a children's home, and left him. Left him right there and turned around and walked away. He said to the lady, where's my mama? And the lady said, son, your mama's gone. Gone. And so he had lived at the orphanage all of his life. And he now lives in Greensboro and has a business. Rob Mitchell. This story was told on Focus on the Family years ago. You familiar with that program? And a good program. So it's written, great story. I suggest you get a box of Kleenexes when you're reading it, because it'll wow. You know. And then we've got some Bibles here. Peace for the Vietnam Vet. And if you'd like one, take one of those. We've got some stories in there about men and some articles about them and how they came to Christ. So we'd like you to take the New Testament, Peace for the Vietnam Vet. And Kathy can share some other things. So we're using tools to get out because you guys have helped us. We go help other people. And let's close with a word of prayer and turn it back over to you guys, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your blessings, and thank you for opportunities we've had to see the greatness of our God and how you've worked in so many lives and how people are coming to know you. And the boys and girls are hearing the story of Jesus Christ. And we think of all the millions of boys and girls that are out there. We thank you for the opportunities we have to tell them about Jesus and help us all to do our part. Thank you for giving us the ability, the strength, and the skills, and the opportunities to go. Thank you for people that said, yes, we'll help you, and we'll help encourage you, and we'll be involved. And we pray that some from this church would say, yes, I want to be involved, and I want to be part of it, and I want to do what I can to be on mission for Jesus Christ in different communities. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. A great presentation. And we can see a little better through this why we give what we give. And we can see a little better how we might participate and also how we might pray more effectively for the work that we see done through Annie Armstrong, particularly today through this family. So during this time of invitation, if the Lord has moved you in any way by what's been shared, I won't read your minds. I'll just ask you to respond as the Lord leads you today as we stand and sing.
Hymn number 285. Take up.
Amen, amen, wherever he leads, and that's a good mindset for anybody that's a faithful follower of Christ. Wherever he leads, we'll go. All right, so has it been good to be in God's house today?
Amen.
It's always good to hear that. I'm going to leave David and Kathy up here at the front so you can get to them more quickly and ask them lots of questions and challenge them and encourage them and look at the things that they brought. And I'll hobble my way to the back door to greet those that have to leave, but also stick around and look at that bus. I'm interested. I want to see if I can hobble my way up into that bus and have a look too. But we truly appreciate you coming today, and thank you so much for what you do for the kingdom. So I'm going to ask Brother Bill's right here close, if he don't mind closing us in prayer this morning.
Lord, we're thankful for this beautiful day you allowed us to be out in your house. We're thankful for all the things that you give us and allow us to participate in. We, Lord, we know there are many, many needs out there that need to be met. It is our responsibility as Christians and followers of you to help meet those needs and bring those who are lost to a loving knowledge of you. Help us to go to the places you want us to go, do the things you want us to do, and help each other, lift each other when we're down, and build up the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.